the core problem continues to be insecurity, and no matter how many civilians you send out there, the issue will be whether they're able to get out of Kabul, get off of the compounds, and get into the countryside. And that has really not been the case in about a third of the country for the last year or so. And that will continue to be the problem in the election as well, when there's a fear that 700 of the 7,000 polling stations will not even be able to open because of insecurity.
Well, we're reading this morning about yet another car bomb. This one killed 7 people, wounded 52. And let's see, where was this in the... Jalalabad, I guess it was. So, you know, this is a constant. It seems to be ramping up. The violence is ramping up now. And is that an effort just to suppress the vote?
I think the vote will be suppressed anyway, because some of the early enthusiasm of voting and the underwhelming results that some voters have felt that the Karzai government in particular has delivered will probably suppress the vote. But definitely these incidents of violence, and it's hard to tell. It's so, in a way, so easy to set off a car bomb or another kind of a bomb in a place and create the sort of the cascading effect or the echo effect of violence. But to separate that from whether insurgents are actually taking over places, which is really the bigger problem in parts of the South and maybe the East as well, where we just really haven't had the kind of success in fighting the Taliban that's necessary to make people feel safe.
We're talking with Rick Barton. He's co-director of the Center for Strategic and International Studies Post-Conflict Reconstruction Project. And so what does this all mean if the election should be disputed or it should come out with violence surrounding it and we really can't rely on the results? What would this mean for the United States' efforts right now in Afghanistan?
Well, I think that the results will actually be accepted by the four major candidates. I think there's going to be there are going to be all kinds of complications. There will be some fraud, but you have literally thousands of observers, including high-level delegations from the U.S., including more technocratic operations from the U.S., Japanese, the Europeans have several hundred people. But most importantly, you have an independent electoral commission there in Afghanistan that has run this election in a way that the major candidates have generally accepted. I think the tougher issue in the Afghanistan election will be whether Karzai does not win in this first round and then is forced into a runoff where he will go from being the favorite, and he's likely, most people think he's going to get the majority, not the majority, but a plurality of the votes in this first round. If he does not get a majority, he's then forced into a second round where basically all of the candidates have been running against him. Of the 40 original candidates and 30 or so that are left now, they've all been opposing Karzai pretty much. So it's expected that he would be the underdog in the runoff. And then you get into some very serious tests about the divides within the country and whether they're ethnic, whether they're geographic, and whether they can be healed by an electoral process or whether they will be exaggerated.
Mr. Barton, can you give us a snapshot of how this impacts U.S. efforts in Afghanistan? Obviously, the State Department is sending in more civilians to try to do some nation building. They've changed the military leadership there, bringing in General McChrystal. So how does all of this, how does the election impact U.S. efforts there to try to, you know, change the dynamic in the Afghanistan conflict?
I think it's been helpful in the sense that all of the major candidates have focused on the need for a new approach, in particular on the issue of security, but also in the attack on corruption. And so those have really been the centerpieces of most of the campaigns. In addition, there's been some discussion naturally about economic growth and the development of the country. But the primary concerns of people in Afghanistan, at least from our own measures of progress work that we've done over the last several years, have really been around this issue of, am I safe? Can I live in this place? Can I work in this place? Can I keep my family here, or do I have to move them back to Pakistan or somewhere outside the country? So the emphasis in the campaign on these issues, I think, is helpful to the U.S. as the U.S. is rethinking how we're going to provide better security. And some of what we learned in Iraq, we're obviously trying to apply, and all of the major candidates have been saying, yes, we've got to find some way, a better way of dealing with the Taliban. Some of that will involve negotiations. Some of it will involve the actual hiring of these people and integrating them into existing Afghan government processes. That's something we did in Iraq to great effect when we took 100,000 members of the Sunni Awakening and basically put them on our payroll. They had been our enemies, and we put them on our payroll. That changed the dynamic rather quickly. We're not talking about huge numbers in Afghanistan, and many people think that many of the Taliban could be the subject to good negotiations and maybe even forms of agreements such as we found in Iraq.
Well, it's fascinating, and we're going to look with a little closer eye now at that election next week, and we thank you very much for joining us.
Great. It's this Thursday.
This Thursday. Wow.
And yeah. Just one quick question from me, Mr. Are you there, Mr. Barton?
Yes, I am.
Just the number of people coming in from U.S. agencies to sort of help with the rebuilding, is it sufficient, or is this just a, you know, sort of a drop in the ocean?
I think it could potentially be helpful, but you still have to remember the U.S. is spending about $68 billion a year on our defense work there, which is mostly for our own soldiers, but also partially for the direct payment of the Afghan National Army. And we're spending about $2.5 billion on our civilian side. So it's still a fairly minor effort. And the hardest thing for the civilians is to be able to travel around the country. And if you can't get out, then you have to find other ways of helping the Afghans. And we have not really moved in that direction fast enough yet, I don't think.